Father God, we thank you for the blessing of Hayden. We thank you for him coming this morning with his wife. We pray that you just bless us with what we hear and that you would give him the words that we need to hear this morning to encourage us in the ministry of your works in Weldon. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kane. It's really good to be with you once again. I think I was here, I'm told it was actually a year ago, almost to the day, thereabouts. You have a better memory than me, collectively here, but I'm delighted to be back, and I'm delighted that Newton is now here, and obviously he's learned everything he needs to know about how to be ordained in the Church of England in 3 months. Thank you so much for the way that you've welcomed him and his family so far. I think I would have mentioned at the time I came last year that cake was very important in this endeavor, so I hope that you've been blessing them with cake as well as all the other things that they need in order to serve God well here, and keep looking after him and keep telling him occasionally when he makes terrible jokes, but they won't be as bad as mine, so you'll be okay. It's a real delight to be coming to speak to you this morning. I know you've been doing 1 Peter for a little while, and so I thought I'd try and obediently stay within the program this morning. We've been called to be obedient to God, first of all. Obedience is not a fashionable thing. We like to do our own thing. We don't really like anyone else telling us what to do that much these days. If anything, if it's happening anywhere, we like to be the one telling somebody else what they should be doing. I see some knowing smiles instinctively or awkwardly shared amongst you, so you know that I'm telling the truth. And it's one of those things, you can get stuck thinking that obedience is just that God is wherever God is with a kind of wagging finger somewhere saying, no, not like that, do it this way. No, I told you, I've told you once, I've told you twice, I've told you 1,000 times, this is how you should be. And so it can end up that the way that we look at God is, well, not as he designs for it to be. One of the things I think about sin that we hear about every time we come together, an excellent use of the word smiting, by the way, Newton. It's always good to have a smiting in church on a Sunday morning. The sin is basically about choosing to do our own thing when we could do God's thing. And God's thing, most of all, isn't so much to do with an activity or an action as it is about an attitude of the heart. That's what I think. Scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things. It's one of those really positive things that's written in the Bible that you can find if you look really hard. The heart is deceitful above all things. And so what hope is there unless we turn to God? We're sprinkled with the blood of Jesus as those followers of his that Peter's writing to were, and we're made new. In order to be made new, we have to enter into the death of Christ first before rising to new life, new hope. We have a living hope. That means it's alive. That means we're being transformed. We are, because we trust in God. I hope you do trust in God. I hope that you don't just trust in church. They're not the same thing. I especially hope that you don't just trust in Kane. Because I have to tell you, that's going to end up not going so well for any of you, least of all Kane, I think. And so trust in God, because God is faithful. God is kind. God is loving. God is merciful. The living hope we have is in Jesus Christ, because Christ came and lived among us. He died a death that he did not deserve, but he rose again, defeated death, so that we don't have to worry about it anymore. Nor does anyone else who puts their trust in God. And then, just to seal it all for us, he ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, and prays for us and all the world. And he's doing so right at this very moment, just as you're praying that I don't go on too long. Jesus is praying that all of our hearts might be moved and directed back towards God. Because repentance, is another good church word, is actually about turning away from disobedience to God and turning back into God's direction. We had a fun little journey over this morning, and the nice lady from Google Maps, who's becoming one of my closest friends as I get older, kept telling us to, you know, turn left here, turn right here, and we got stuck on a single track road behind an extremely slow moving vehicle, and Kane was worried that we weren't going to turn up, but we got there in the end, because Google Maps, it turns out, is usually trustworthy. But how much more all of you would have seen and experienced, I'm sure, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You might be in a slightly warmer room somewhere else if you did not know that God is trustworthy and has brought you through the storms of life that you've experienced thus far and will bring you through all that comes next. Whether you are rejoicing with an indescribable joy, which always seems like an aspirational thing to me, to be honest, because I'm British. Rejoicing with an indescribable joy. That's what we're called to do. Wouldn't it be great if the people of Weldon and surrounding places knew this church as a group of people who, through whatever circumstances they faced, rejoiced with a joy that was beyond description because of the living hope that you have in Jesus Christ? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Church may or may not be full on a Sunday morning in those circumstances. People around us, they don't know that God exists. They think, if anything, it's much more likely that God does not exist. Either because it makes no sense that God could exist, or because they've had a fairly intriguing experience of religion somewhere else in life in the past, to say the least. And so they have no intention of darkening the doors of a church. That's the majority of living humans. So I'm sure it's the same in Weldon. Just that's how it goes. I think the majority of the reasons that people are not Christians in our day is because they have not met Jesus Christ, who is alive, who is a living hope for today and for tomorrow and for eternity, for all individual people and for the whole world. And also because when they've met Christians, somehow or other, they don't rejoice with an indescribable joy. Honestly, if anything, that seems to me to be a task that we have, that we share together, that we come to a place that we actually understand how great our God is, as far as we can. Come to know that Jesus is alive, that it's not just theoretical, it actually is real. Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. Death and all its works is conquered. We don't need to be fearful, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary, because Jesus is alive. It's my job in the diocese, which is another thing I could spend a while trying to explain, but I won't, don't worry, to find people who sense that they're invited by God to share that good news that Jesus is alive, that we've been called to obedience to God, that we have a living hope, and that we're called as people to rejoice with a joy that is so joyful, and not just in a way that you jump up and down like I can't, doing star jumps because you can't control yourself, but actually deep in the heart of who we are, that we rejoice in all circumstances. It's my job to find people to be the next generation of ministers, to share all of that hope with people around them. You might sit in your pews this morning thinking, well, I hope it's not me. Crikey. But even if it isn't you, I want to ask you to pray that some people would, with excitement and a little bit of sensible trepidation, take a step or two forward and do what God would have them do. Be the people that God would have them be. You're never too young, never too old to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to know very much. You don't have to be good with words. It's sometimes better if you're not, to be honest. But you do have to know Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. If you do, there's a lot of people that don't know that stuff yet, and they don't know the one who was raised from the dead to save us from our sins. And there's many people who could do with knowing that, is there not? So whether you come and talk to me afterwards, or whether you hide from me in a faraway corner so that I don't find you, when you leave this morning, go with confidence, I hope and pray, that God loves you. Yes, you. And that he has saved you from everything you needed to be saved from, and freed you for joyful obedience to him, to trust him, to accept that you do have a living hope, and sent you to rejoice with a joy that is so indescribable that I shouldn't really talk about it because it's beyond words, but that people will sense and see and feel and want for themselves because of who you are and how you are and how you live. That's how churches grow. One person at a time experiencing the living hope of Jesus Christ. You can be someone who causes that to happen in this place, in this area. So that if I come back for my annual visit in October next year, as it seems I do now, you'll be able to say, oh yeah, this is someone that I shared the living hope of Jesus Christ with. Wouldn't that be good? Amen.